Well, one of the many reasons I love coming to this church is that your music never, ever disappoints. From one musician to another, I grew up in a musician's home. Thank you for your music. I will walk away today with a full heart this morning just listening to your music. Friends, as Emily said, I am the Reverend Dr. Chad Abbott, the conference minister for the Indiana-Kentucky Conference. I'm here from Indianapolis today. I came last night and had the joy of spending time with your Saturday night congregation, as well as your youth this morning who know a whole lot, let me just tell you. So it's a joy to be here to worship with you. And while I'm your conference minister, I represent the 115 churches that make up this conference and our 6 staff. And so when we think of the Indiana-Kentucky Conference, that is not me. I play one role in that. I'm one staff person. Our staff is not the Indiana-Kentucky Conference. We, together, you, are actually the Indiana-Kentucky Conference. So I want to do a little experiment with you. If you wouldn't mind just repeating after me, I am the Indiana-Kentucky Conference. One more time, I am the Indiana-Kentucky Conference. Now, I know you got neighbors. Say it to a neighbor. You are the Indiana-Kentucky Conference. Friends, we are together, the United Church of Christ, here in Indiana and Kentucky. What a joy, Bethlehem, it is to be here with you in worship today. Would you join me in a word of prayer? Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for this day, for our time together, for the ways in which you have bound us together in covenant and in love. Today, as we have had your word read and it will now be proclaimed, may your Holy Spirit inspire us. Open our eyes and our ears that we may see and hear you afresh and anew this day. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen. So this morning I had the joy of spending time with your confirmands, and I realized they know a whole lot more than I did when I was that age, for sure. My goodness, what a bright group of kids you all have. And over the last 20-plus years that I have been in ministry, I have come to the conclusion that there are some things of theology that I certainly feel like I have a good sense of, I might have a good opinion about, but am I certain? Probably not. There is only really a couple of things that I could say where I feel certain, maybe in the 90 percentile, 99.9% sure that that is right, and here's one of them. I believe that God has created each and every one of us to be in community. We were made as God, in God's image, in connection, just like Emily shared, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in connection, one, that you and I were made to be in relationship and in belonging and in connection with one another, and that God has specifically placed in our lives people in our lives who, when we struggle, when we go through hard times, are there to be our buoy, to be our support, to be our encouragement, to help us through those moments. So I want to invite you into a time of prayerful and contemplative practice with me. So if you'll just take a moment and close your eyes and take a deep breath with me and let it go. And raise your right arm just a little bit and place it on your heart. And I want you to bring to your mind's eye two people, maybe three, who are the people in your life who stand to support and encourage and love you more than anyone else in your life. They were there in those moments of pure joy and excitement and success. They were also there in those moments of struggle, of challenge, of job loss, of grief, of trying to figure out your vocation. They were the people who took you out to lunch or to have coffee and sat across and listened to your story. Can you see them in your mind's eye? You know their names and you know who they are. They have held you up in the hardest of times. Now just say a prayer. Thank you, God. for Sally, for Jim, for my mother, whatever it might be, offer a brief word of thanksgiving to God. Amen. See, we all have those people. Whoever it was you brought to your mind got you through and celebrated with you and gave you strength when you really needed it, right? We all have them. We don't get through the hard times. We don't get through life without that kind of underpinning support. So a couple of years ago, there are 36 conference ministers across the United Church of Christ. And we were gathered, as we do every year in December, in retreat in Atlanta, Georgia. And we're at this Franciscan retreat center. And in this retreat center is this beautiful, beautiful space. And it's all up on this hill. So to drive there, you have to kind of go around and around. And you get all the way to the top. And it's up on this huge hill. And if you look over the hill and the cliff, you see at the very bottom this beautiful river. Well, there are trails to get to that river. And there were four of us who decided that today is the day that we are going to just go out and go on a walk. The four of us support each other, listen to each other's stories, encourage each other. And we realized, you know, it's kind of raining. So we're going to put on our jackets. So we did. We brought our jackets. The one thing that we forgot that we did not have, because most of us flew there, we didn't have any shoes and boots that would help us get in the middle of the rain down all that way. It was muddy and slippery. And so when you go on the trail to get down to the river, the way that it works is you go down the trail like this, and then when you hit a turn, you have to go like this, and you go downward, and then it levels off again. And then you get over here, and you get around another corner, and you have to dip down and go again. And we get to our first turn, and we have four of us, and one of them leading the way and goes around the first bend, has no problem, gets on a rock, gets down, keeps on going. Well, the other three of us behind were a little less so, and we were having a really hard time. It was pouring down rain, and I don't know whose idea it was to go in the rain, but we did it anyway, and we're trying to go, and I'm telling you, we don't have the boots, and we're slipping and sliding, and I look up back at my friend, and I said, oh, Freeman, here, let me give you my arm. And he grabbed my arm, and he grabbed my other colleague's arm, and we were hilarious, because the three of us just trying to make our way down as slow as we could. And our friend up in the front looked back and went, oh my God, I had no idea you all were back there struggling. And so every turn from that point forward, all four of us, instead of just going on our way one-on-one, doing our own thing, all four of us offered support. We offered one another arms and put your arm on that tree and put your foot there. And when we got down to the bottom, it was wonderful. We made it. None of us fell, thanks be to God. But we get to the bottom and we realize something really, really vital and crucial. We need one another. This work that we do as conference ministers is hard. We have to deal with hard things in churches. And so sometimes when we gather in retreat like this, we don't really know how much we really needed each other until we almost fell, right? And we said to each other, okay, we have to intentionally reach out, not just today to get downward, but pick up the phone, send a text, maybe even get in a car and drive if you need to. But we're going to be there to support each other. And I know that today, if I were going through anything, I could pick up the phone and call every single one of them, and they would drop whatever it is that they were doing to sit with me. I just know it. Friends, we all, every one of us, need that kind of support in our lives. It's why we come here to church, right? To find faith and spiritual foundation, but also support and friendship and kinship. God knows this because God placed it, many stories of this in the Bible. One of them for today from the book of Exodus. And so the book of Exodus is this wonderful story about the people of Israel and God's deliverance of them. And we all know this story. It's a familiar story, but I want to set a little foundation for where we're at in chapter 17. In chapter 17, we learn that the Israelites are thirsty and they begin grumbling with God, don't they? that they're thirsty and they don't have any water to drink, but they also face an enemy. And how are they going to deal with that challenge in life? So before we get to that piece of the scripture, I want to back us up for just a minute, because it's crucial to understanding where we are in chapter 17. So we all know the story. The Israelites have been in slavery for 400 years, right? Not 4 or 40, 400. That's a long, long time for you to be in one spot and for it to be under harsh conditions. And God comes to Moses and says, deliver my people. And sure enough, Moses does this, and the Pharaoh loosens his stone heart, and the Israelites are let go. But they go down to the base of the Red Sea, and they're faced with a dilemma, because on the right hand, they have the Red Sea, and there's nowhere to go. And on the left hand, the Pharaoh's changed his mind and is coming after them on the other side. And they're stuck. How are we going to make it through this? And God does the unthinkable and provides a way, right? Right through the middle of the sea, God parts the sea. They walk through on dry ground. Praise be to God, they made it to the other side, and they're celebrating and rejoicing, right? One little problem, though, on the other side of the Red Sea is when you've been in captivity and in slavery for 400 years, and all of a sudden you are meant to go somewhere else, and there's no GPS, and there's, you know, no map and directions, and God hasn't given you the way just yet, and you're standing on the other side of the Red Sea, what's the first thing you're going to want to do? Let's go back, right? This is too dangerous. This is too uncertain, too unclear. Their first wondering, and I get this, I understand, I've got kids, they start grumbling, don't they? And it's not the grumbling you heard today, although it's similar. This one is about food. And if you're in their situation, I get that. You're out there in the desert, and believe me, it's hot and arid and dry, and you're hungry. And all of a sudden, the hunger pains turn into hangry pains, and all of a sudden, you're standing there going, okay, Moses, what have you done? Brought us out here in the middle of the wilderness to die of hunger? So Moses does what any good leader would do and goes to God and says, what is with your people? What am I supposed to do, right? And God says to Moses, go up ahead and I will provide in the morning manna. And sure enough, God did, and they ate. But as they got a little further down and they moved into the wilderness of sin, they began not just to be hungry, but to be thirsty. And thirst is a very hard thing when you can't have it quenched. And they begin again to grumble with God. Instead of trusting God that God would provide, they begin to grumble again. And Moses says, God, what do I do with your people? They're going to stone me out here. And God says, take that staff that you hit the Nile with. Go forward and hit the rock, and I will provide water for them. And sure enough, it's exactly what God did. The wilderness, friends, is a barren space. It's a difficult place to walk. And if you've been in that part of the world, you would know exactly what these people face. Hardship on every account. And not only were they hungry and thirsty, they are now facing an enemy unknown, Amalek and his army. And so Moses says to Joshua, I need you to go and take care of them. I'm going to go up on the mountain and I will be up there supporting you. He goes up on the mountain, and the text tells us that he had raised his hands. And that when his hands were raised, they were winning. And when his hands lowered, they were losing. And of course, Aaron and Hur, who went with Moses, noticed this dynamic. And all of a sudden they said, oh my goodness, we've got to help, we've got to support. And they went and grabbed a rock and put it underneath Moses, because the text tells us that Moses became weary. Anyone ever been weary? I sure have. He became weary, and his hands, and I don't know if you've ever held up your hand, tried to hold up your hands for an extended period of time, but it only takes so long before your hands are like, oh my gosh, I got to put my hands down. And Moses' hands, through his weariness, began to grow down. They put a rock underneath so he could sit. And then the text tells us that Aaron held up his hand on the one side and Hur held up the hand of Moses on the other side until the sun set. And they won. We all go through a wilderness in our lives. All go through challenging times. And so we need, don't we, all of us, I said this in the beginning, we were made for connection and community because we need at times in our lives support to help us to do the things we could not do by ourselves in our lives. Isn't that a beautiful image of two people holding up the hands of one who cannot do it on their own? That's all of us at some point and at some time. And so we were made for belonging and connection for that very reason, and God knew it. And so friends, we are here at church, and surprise, surprise, we're here at church. And we are here because we need that kind of support, don't we? You need it as an individual, as one of God's beloved children. But you as a congregation also need it. So let me talk a little bit to both of those. I don't know about you, but this image of Aaron and Hur holding up Moses' hands is why I go to church. It's not the theology. I love a good theological debate, but it's not the theology. It's not the liturgy. I love good liturgy. Sometimes it's definitely the music, I have to admit. But more importantly than that, when I am going through a really difficult time, it could be grief and loss. It could be that moment in my life or in your life when you lost a job and you don't know what will come next. It could be a conflict that you are having with a family member. It could be addiction. There's a whole host of reasons that each and every one of us need our hands held up. We need people holding each other up. And in those moments, it is such a gift to walk through the doors of a church, to sit next to someone who says, let's sit down and it's okay. It's okay for me to admit that I'm not okay, and for someone to say, well, I'll sit right next to you and we'll get through it together. My goodness, if that's the vision of church, I want to be in it every single Sunday in a pew. That's why I go to church, because I need that. Spiritual support. I need my hands at times held up, and there are going to be times when other people need their hands held up because they're struggling through something and it's my turn to help them up. Just as my colleagues are coming down the side of this trail on a rather rainy day and I can offer my arm, that's what it means to be church. And I want to thank you, by the way, Bethlehem UCC, for being that church for one another. You all need each other. We've had a lot of deaths as of late. You need each other to encourage each other, support each other through difficult times. You have a group of amazing young people who are going through confirmation, and they can't do it by themselves. They need each other. Pastor Emily, right, as well as Pastor Doug, they can't do pastoring by themselves. They need colleagues, and they need support. Thank you, guys, for being the body of Christ, holding one another up, holding each other up when you need it. But it's not just, you know, you as individuals, it's also you as a church. We in the United Church of Christ are not just a bunch of independent churches that have no connection whatsoever to each other. We are the United Church of Christ, and we have that deep connection with each other for a reason. We are bound together in covenant and in relationship. It is at the heart of what it is to be a part of the United Church of Christ. And so there are going to come times when you as a church might be going through difficult things or might need support or strength or a listening ear. And it is both myself and our staff, but it's your other sister churches around you that there to hold your arms up when you need it. When your pastor discerns it's time for her to move on, and let's make that like a long, long time from now, just putting that out there because you have one amazing pastor. But when she does, because she can't be here forever, but when she does, it is our staff that comes alongside of you and says, let's discern what God is calling you to next. Right? There are times when churches go through a hard time of conflict. You might have a struggle within the church and there's this difficulty. Well, it is our staff and the committee on ministry who comes alongside and says, let's try and work through that together. See, you're not alone. So you're not alone. You don't have to go through that alone. None of our churches should have to go through difficulty alone. I happen to go to a church in Carmel, Indiana, north of Indianapolis, who is going through one of those trials. And back in July of 2023, we had a fire, and we had to vacate our building. In fact, we are still out of our building, and will not be back in our building till December. So it's been a difficult season for us. Can you imagine being displaced, right, from the space you love to worship in? It's odd worshiping in a middle school. But I have to tell you that the support, the encouragement, the pastors who needed stoles because they're burned and are no longer, the paraments that came in so we could decorate an altar, the candles and all the communion ware and all the stuff that we needed to be church. Other churches said, hey, you're going through a hard time. We'll lift up your arms. Let us help you through. That is what it means to be a part of the United Church of Christ, friends. To see the beauty and gift in one another. And when one of us needs the other, we support one another. That's what it means to be a part of the United Church of Christ. And we use that word united intentionally because there is, God knows, none of our churches agree on anything at all in the United Church of Christ. Right, Emily? Right, Doug? I mean, I've seen it all. We can't agree on just about any form of theology or way to do things, but there is certainly one thing we can. It doesn't matter whether you're conservative or liberal or anywhere in between. We are committed in covenant to loving and caring for one another, holding one another's right hand and left hand up when you need it, no matter what your theology, no matter what your belief system, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and yes, we will hold your arms up when you cannot. That's what it means to be a part of the United Church of Christ. I am so, so grateful for who you are in helping us be that church. You are a 5-4-5 church. If you don't know what that means, ask your pastor. But you give so extravagantly and generously of your time as well as your financial gifts to our conference and to our denomination in such a way, and I'm going to tell a story about this in a minute, in such a way that lives are changed and transformed because you are helping other people's arms be supported. When you give to our church's wider mission, which you do, by the way, extravagantly, and thank you. When you do that, you're not just paying my salary. You are helping other people's lives. You are helping the church that you have never met find a pastor. You are helping other churches, when they have a fire, be lifted up. You are raising their right hand and their left. And what a gift you all are. So thank you. That not only you as individuals need support, but all of our churches need support. That's what it means to be a part of the United Church of Christ, and I'm grateful you are. And I'm grateful to be your conference minister. I want to close with two stories related directly to Aaron and her. One on the left hand and one on the right hand. One's a personal story, one's a conference story. So I want to tell you a story about 2016. I was pastoring a church, not unlike this, in Northern Kentucky. And one of the most challenging things I ever had to do in my career, and even to this day, was do the funeral of a 12-year-old. And I will admit to you, because I feel like I can be vulnerable with you, Bethlehem, I was terrified to do the funeral. I had done plenty of funerals, but this was a hard one. And there was a lot of grief and hardship, and I have never done one of these before. And the family wanted to do a small, intimate family and friends, as well as a community service. And I have to tell you that the small intimate one, I've done lots of those. It still was hard. But I have never done a funeral with over 1,000 people. And so you can imagine I was younger in my ministry and not as well seasoned at that point. And I had colleagues, and Doug and Emily will attest to this, the power of having good colleagues. I had colleagues who I just called up. And I said, I don't know if I can do this. You're going to have to pray me through this. And I had this great friend named Ken. He's my left hand. He's Aaron today. And he prayed with me. He called me. He checked in with me. How are you doing? Leading right up to the service. When I got to the middle school that evening and I was leading the service, I stood up and I was trembling. I was shaking. I was scared. I was terrified. There are 1,000 people, and most of them I didn't know. And I stood up to the pulpit, and when I looked out, the first face I saw was my dear colleague, Ken. Now, Ken didn't know a person in the room, but Ken knew, without even asking me, that I needed him there. I saw that friendly face, and all of a sudden, my left hand, which was starting to fade down, was starting to be lifted back up, and I started my body started to calm, and I knew I was going to be okay because the presence of the Holy Spirit was providing me all I needed to do that service. But friends, we all need them, don't we? We all need the Kens and the Aarons, and we need the people like my colleagues going down the trail to offer support. The other story is the other side, the right hand, and that of her. Many of you know that we have, going back to very early stages of the Indiana-Kentucky Conference, a disaster relief committee. Some of you may have served on that committee. Some of the giving that you give to our church's wider mission, as well as One Great Hour Sharing, goes, by the way, to that work of disaster relief all over the world, all over the country. In 2022, I don't know if you knew this, but because our geography covers 90% of Kentucky, Kentucky, as a state, its governor declared in 2022 that 65% of its counties were considered disaster zone. 65. That's huge. And that is related largely to two things, the eastern Kentucky flooding and all of the tornadoes that went through in 2022 around Mayfield and Paducah, Kentucky. We have a church in Paducah, Kentucky, and they were fine, but Mayfield itself was not. Mayfield, Kentucky was completely destroyed. And it was our team, along with dozens of other teams, that went in and began to assess the situation and raise money. And because of churches like yours, and churches all over the United Church of Christ, again, being a part of this great denomination is lifting up each other's hands. We raised over $200,000 to help rebuild homes in Mayfield, Kentucky, because of you. It matters when you give. Lives are changed. And so our director of our program, he was helping rebuild this house, and he's standing next to this gentleman whose house they were helping rebuild. And everyone who's there every owner doesn't necessarily come and do the work. Sometimes it's just different groups, Habitat for Humanity groups, church groups like ours, which, by the way, if any of you all want to go on a trip like that, we can organize that with you. Just see me afterwards. Our director was standing next to the owner of this home whom they were helping to rebuild. And the owner turns to our director and he says, you know, when we get done building my house, I think I'll come back and help build the next house with you and the next house. And he said, well, why would you do that? Like, you don't have to. I mean, you don't even have to build your own house. Why would you come and do it for others? And he said, my world was turned upside down. My house was completely destroyed, and you are helping me to rebuild. You are lifting me up when I cannot stand. You have put a rock underneath me and lifted up my arms. I'm paraphrasing. But you helped me when I could not help myself, and that is giving me life. And I can't help but think that I ought to do the same for others. what he understands is what her understood. Lifting up the right hand. What Aaron understood is lifting up the left hand. What my friend and colleague Ken did, sitting in the back. What my colleagues understood, going down the trail, giving each other our arms. We need those people in our lives. You need that for each other. We are that as the United Church of Christ. And this world needs us to do that in the world. Now, I want to return with a challenge. Those people that you saw in your mind's eye at the beginning, they may have been your sister or your parent. Maybe even somebody sitting in the pew next to you. Could be a sibling, coworker, friend, colleague. You know their names. Bring them to your mind's eye again. You don't have to close your eyes. Just bring them to your mind. Today, when you walk out these doors, I want to ask you to do something for me. There was a time when those persons that you brought to your mind, when you couldn't stand, they put a rock underneath you. When your arms began to fail because you were weary, they put your hands up. And whoever those people are that you brought to your mind, I want you to go to them this week, one of them, and just simply thank them for their love and care and support. And remind them that you too are there to lift their arms when they may need it. For friends, that is what it means to be the body of Christ, to be Aaron and Hur to Moses. And thanks be to God that we have this opportunity to do it together. Amen.